Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and there is audio playing in my ear from NFL.com. As of course, I just opened it up to get the free agent list up. But here we are, free agency. We are about 4 days deep. This show is coming to you on likely a Friday morning or a Thursday evening. That is because the March Madness tournament is here, Trey, and I will be working that this weekend. So no show Sunday, but instead a show today talking about what has happened and transpired in free agency thus far. We're going to talk about who I think some of the most active teams have been in free agency from each division, one from each. So 8 teams total. And then towards the end, we'll do our 5 question segments, which I have based on around free agency. And I'm interested to hear your takes on some of the winners and losers of the period thus far. But other than that, it's been a crazy day NFL news-wise. Let's just get it out of the way. I mean, the new media deals are out, worth something close to $12 billion. The cap is expected to go up like $197 million within the next 2 years and only get bigger from there, Trey. And this continues my biggest theme that we haven't talked about this offseason here, but I've been harping on Twitter, which is that the salary cap is a myth. It doesn't actually matter. Teams are just at whim to spend how much money they want, and they can always find a way to get under it. I mean, look at the Los Angeles Rams. They added players in free agency and were able to get under the cap somehow, some way. So I just don't think it's that big a deal. The media deals are here, and it's money, 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 as they like to say. Holy cow, Trey, isn't that a lot of money?
Well, you know, we went through this weird period where everybody was saying, oh, the team, every single team is broke because the cap is going down. But all of a sudden, we see teams throwing out millions of dollars to contracts without a care in the world. So, like you said, the salary cap is a myth. I don't want to hear anything about cap room and all that crap, cap flexibility, all that stuff. You're just afraid to dole out the money. You're just afraid to dole out the big money to get all those talents to your team. So, like you said, it's the salary cap is a myth. I don't want to hear anything about saying how GMs are starving for cap room, because how can you be starving for something that isn't real? So, yeah. But it's been wild, which I love, because I love chaos, as you know. So,
absolutamente, as I get to the end of this orange Gatorade. Yeah, man, I mean, it's a lot of money, and the NFL is doing well. I mean, it doesn't seem like that long ago that we had a bunch of people on Twitter being like, oh, man, I'm going to stop watching the NFL. It's too political. Can't do this. Can't do that. Like, the NFL's canceled. You can't do this. Like, when are people going to learn? The NFL will never go away. It doesn't matter how much brain trauma they cause. It doesn't matter how much they don't align with your political views. The NFL is here to stay and will never be weakened. They will always be the form of entertainment, not just sport, but entertainment in general. It is the number one form of it in the United States of America. And it's not changing anytime soon.
At all. Because you think you want to go down there to the South, where all the people watch football and saying, hey, ask those people down there, do you want to see the NFL go away anytime soon? They'd probably, first off, they'd say no. Second off, they probably put their hands on you or become violent with you, any shape or form. Nobody wants to see the NFL go away. Nobody. Like you said, it doesn't matter how many times we see players hit each other in the head and see their brains locked inside their craniums. The NFL is never going away. It's not even a kingpin at this point. It's literally a god. The NFL is a god right now to the United States of America, and it will continue to be a god to the United States of America until time ends.
And hence, this podcast will always have a chance. No matter how small and niche it is, people will always want to hear about the NFL. So,
oh yes,
you and me, Trey, even if we never make a cent of money off this podcast, which I highly doubt we will ever make a cent of money off this podcast, there will always be NFL for us to talk about.
Oh yeah, 100%. The NFL keeps us. The NFL keeps us warm while we try to struggle through life. Struggle through life. Eric.
Absolutely. Keeps Don't we warm. Love football?
We love football.
And I mean, we just pay. I pay Roger Goodell $100 extra every year just to have Game Pass. And we're going to try to make Sunday Ticket on ESPN Plus. And ESPN Plus will up their rates, and I'll pay for it. Because I want to watch whatever game I want to watch on Sunday and have it mobile, and I have it mobile on my laptop. And the TVs at the sports radio station don't work, which is just terrible, but also a fact. So hopefully, you know, maybe someday they will work. But until then,
you're in the chamber, bud.
It's all about legal streaming services, because also the company blocks streaming sites. So you can't, it's just a lose-lose for me when I have to go in on an NFL Sunday. But, Trey, that has been fun money talk. Let's get into free agency. More money was spent. Let's start in the AFC East. And the team, maybe not the winners, but with a ton of buzz, the New England Patriots. First off, they decide to bring back Cam Newton. And in doing so, say he did not do well last year, let's add some weapons around him. Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith. Those are the guys that they bring in to surround Cam Newton, and they upgrade their offensive line, trading for offensive tackle Trent Brown, signing center Ted Karras. They are an interesting team to watch. I know that there's a belief on Twitter that, oh, this is all pointless spending money for the Patriots. None of this is actually going to help them. And yes, that is true. But also their roster, I don't think people realize how bad the roster was last year. They lacked depth at almost every single position, and they lacked NFL caliber players, especially on offense. So what did they do? They went and they got some NFL caliber players.
They sure did. And you were talking about how bad the roster was. Just want to point out that they even got – Bill Belichick coached that team to 7 wins last year. 7 wins with all that. I don't think any of the coach could get above 5 wins with that roster that Bill Belichick had last year. But bringing in all that talent, especially at the tight end position, and Josh McDaniels, who, you know, you might love him, you might hate him, but Josh McDaniels loves tight ends in his offense. He loves tight ends in his offense. And the Patriots had, you know, a love of tight ends, you know, a couple years ago where they had Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, that 1-2 punch of tight end that was storming across the league and making plays everywhere. That's what they're envisioning when they're signing Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith is, I want to say, the Aaron Hernandez of the two, or the new Aaron Hernandez of the two, but he's way more athletic. Way much faster, so much more potential than Aaron Hernandez has a tight end. And then Hunter Henry, I mean, Hunter Henry is less athletic up the two, but he's a sure route runner, sure pass catcher, tight end. And then, you know, Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne, those two aren't, you know, household names, of course. You know, Kendrick Bourne, you know, struggled at times to get the production in San Francisco, and Nelson Agholor has bounced around with Philly and Las Vegas, found success there in Las Vegas last year as well. But Bourne and Agholor aren't two guys where, you know, you're going to rely on to get you a whole bunch of, you know, crazy elite production in the passing game. But they're two good depth guys. So I mean, like you said, with the Patriots roster and how bad it was last year, you can get all the talent that you can. It doesn't matter, you know, how much money you really have to spend. Just get the talent that you can and hope that it elevates, you know, the quarterback play that you have from Cam Newton or whoever starts at quarterback for the Patriots come September.
Absolutely. Defensively, they bring in Matt Judon as a pass rusher. Some people didn't like that, but I think he'll translate over, especially if he has Belichick as a coach. Secondary gets a little better, adding Jalen Mills, Justin Bethels for some depth at cornerback, and they bring back Kyle Van Noy, who has always played well in New England. So I really do think that they're probably – this doesn't make me think that the Patriots are some kind of contender, but – I do think that they'll be a team that'll be in the mix next year for sure. And if they draft well and take some more offensive weapons, who knows? Maybe this all works out. And they're a playoff team next year. Let's stick in the AFC East really quick and just hit some. We don't have to go in depth on every move of every team, but just some big names within the division, because there have been a few. This has been a pretty active division in free agency. The Bills bring in Emmanuel Sanders, most notably, to keep Matt Milano. Defense stays a strength, and they add Emmanuel Sanders as John Brown moves on. He signed with the Raiders. Sanders to the Bills, it seems like he's been jumping around a lot of different places. We obviously didn't see a ton of out of him in New Orleans last year, but a lot of people attribute that to what Drew Brees is. To me, he's a little bit of a question mark, but from what he was in San Francisco and in the later years in Denver, I would say he fits in with what the Buffalo Bills need at wide receiver. And they, again, kind of, they, I'd say he's an upgrade on what, or at least equivalent to what John Brown was last year.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. John Brown was, you know, one of those speedy guys that can get stuff down the field. He's also a tough guy. And he can also run some pretty good ones. I think it's the same with Emmanuel Sanders. I think Emmanuel Sanders is the more physical receiver of the two, which doesn't hurt, especially when you have Josh Allen, who loves to force footballs into tight windows across the middle, down the field. So it's not a bad idea to add a physical or a more physical wide receiver who, even though he's getting older, still has some speed under his legs to the point where he can get some shots down the field and make some plays in that Bills offense.
Absolutely. The Bills also of note add Mitch Trubisky on a 1-year deal worth $2.5 million today. This is of note and interesting to me just because you saw the kind of jump Josh Allen took this year. I wonder if Allen takes Trubisky under his wing, gets him in touch with Jordan Palmer, who is Allen's QB guru. And I wonder if he works with Mitch Trubisky this offseason on some certain things. Because I think that he and Allen are similar passers. Trubisky has the same struggles Allen did a year ago, which was he kind of lacks touch and consistency with accuracy. He's got better touch than Allen naturally, but he obviously lacks some consistency with accuracy. Obviously no real competition here, but this feels like, and we can't say this for sure yet, but this sort of feels like the Jameis Winston New Orleans signing last year, where it's a guy who goes to a successful offense with a good coaching staff and recoups for a year. And next offseason, if Brian Daboll perhaps leaves for another place, Mitch Trubisky is on the market and he can try his hand at being a bridge guy. So an interesting phase in Mitch Trubisky's career here. He's sort of in the Jameis boat where – he'll need, and Jameis obviously re-signing with the Saints. But you hear what I'm saying there, Trey?
Mm-hmm. I do, and it's not a bad proposition at all. Trubisky does have some, you know, nice qualities that you said. I mean, he is more touching the ball than Josh Allen. But like you said, he lacks consistency. So if he can clean that up, and he shows enough improvement under Brian Daboll, then if Brian Daboll gets a head coaching job next offseason, which he probably will, but there's always the if. If Daboll gets a head coaching job next offseason, if he sees enough improvement under Trubisky, he can bring him over, see what he has with him, and maybe give him some run. Who knows, though?
Yeah. Dolphins, final team we hit here. Their biggest thing, they add Will Fuller. Love this move. This came down today. Gives to a speed guy. I think all the Deshaun Watson stuff was kind of smoke. Obviously, you got to say you're in on him because he upgrades most rosters, but they're doing the smart thing. They're giving Tua weapons and hoping he develops, and there's no reason to count him out. The sample size has been so small, but I think, you know, they've got those two first-round picks, draft the tackle, draft another wide receiver, and all of a sudden, I think this offense looks pretty spicy.
Yeah. Also, you know, if that offense, you know, schematically takes the jump after, you know, the debacle that it had last year, I know some people might say Tua looked bad and then Fitzpatrick looked good in that offense. But there were some schematic deficiencies on that Dolphins offense last year that led to – I'm not familiar right now who was the Dolphins offensive coordinator last year, but there were some – schematic deficiencies within his offense that led to some trouble and some inconsistency on that offense. So, like you say, you draft a tackle, get another wide receiver, which, you know, doesn't hurt anybody. And that offense, that new offense, with their new co-offensive coordinators, they can get something cooking schematically and the roster starts clicking, then who knows? I think we could be in store to see Tua completely reverse that play that he had in 2020.
Absolutely. Jets, one thing, Corey Davis. He got a big deal. Do you think that pays off being a guy who watched a lot of Corey Davis last year?
I think based on – because Corey Davis was fighting through some inconsistency through most of his career, but there were some things that he did last year that he put on tape to show that he's, you know, I think he broke through and found something. This year as an NFL wide receiver, he was more consistent with his route running. He was more consistent with his production, period. So I can't remember the exact sell. What was it, $37.5 million? Let me just calculate it real quick. 37.5 by 3. That's $12.5 million a year, which isn't bad at all. It was well above the Titans' price range since, you know, they had to pay a crap ton of money for defensive line help, but good for Corey Davis. I think if Corey Davis can, you know, get some good quarterback play, you know, whether that's Sam Darnold, iffy, Zach Wilson, maybe, I think he's going to be good because I think truly that he broke through and found something, some consistency last season. I think he's going to put on a show with the Jets, hopefully, because that Corey Davis is a guy that you root for, especially after all the things that he went through in Tennessee, especially last season with his family.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it plays out. They also brought in Keelan Cole. They're going to obviously have some draft capital. They have a ton of picks this year, especially multiple second rounders. So I would assume they go after guys there. Jump into the AFC North. Let's talk about the Ravens have been surprisingly inactive. Still no wide receiver for LJ8 there, which I'm not a fan of that. Don't know why I just called Lamar Jackson LJ8, but I kind of like it. Cincinnati Bengals. To me, this is them and the Browns are the teams that I'm most intrigued by their free agent moves. The Bengals add Trey Hendrickson, very effective pass rusher for the Saints last year. Add Larry Ogunjobi, who was a decent guy for the Browns for a few years. Chidobe Awuzie, he's an average corner, but he adds depth. Mike Hilton, pretty good corner. They add him as well. The Bengals defense looks pretty good to me. Honestly, they have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. Surprised they didn't go harder after offensive linemen. But perhaps that's the plan in the draft. But they are an interesting team to me, and a team that may not be done yet. I think they might try to add one of these low cost wide receivers as well.
Yeah, which wouldn't be bad. Right now, it's what's their wide receiver pecking order or their group right now? It's T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. I don't know if they signed another guy. I can't remember if they did, but if they did, step their guy. So it wouldn't hurt to add some depth, as it wouldn't hurt to add any depth with your wide receiver group in any team. So, but going back to the defense, like you said, it looks much better now. I really love the Mike Hilton signing. He was really, really good in Pittsburgh last year. Really good slot corner, can blitz, can do a lot of good things for your defense. So if they can keep improving that defense and, you know, keep on adding some offensive line talent to hopefully prevent Joe Burrow from getting his knee snapped in half, then I like the trajectory of the Bengals and where they're going. Iffy on Zach Taylor moving forward, though, but roster-wise, I like where they're going.
Yeah, that is a good point. I agree with you. The Cleveland Browns add help to the secondary in two Los Angeles Rams stars. And these two departures actually hurt the Rams a little bit, I think. Troy Hill, very good for them last year. Mm-hmm. And John Johnson, very good for them at safety last year. The Browns needed help in that secondary across from Denzel Ward. And they got it. I sort of really like this Browns defense.
Yeah. The safety group is probably the most intriguing to me now because they now have three quality safeties that they can roll out there in different sorts of sub packages whenever they want. And then adding Troy Hill, you know, get Denzel Ward. Like you say, you get Troy Hill. And then you still have Greedy Williams, who's young and can still develop into a nice solid corner as well. So, it's a nice Browns defense. I still want to see some more improvement in that pass rush. Miles Garrett, you know, is good. It's obviously good. Larry Ogunjobi is good. And then, you know, they just signed Tack McKinley, who's, you know, as we all know, 2020. You fall Tack McKinley's path to 2020, that it was turbulent going through a bunch of different teams, failing physicals and tryouts. So, I still want to see some improvement in that pass rush. But like with the Bengals and their defense, the trajectory of this defense is only getting much, much better.
Yeah. AFC South, I'm going to let you take this one away. Who do you want to talk about here?
Let's talk about the Jags because they've actually had a nice, solid free agency, sort of first week of free agency. I can't remember the name, but they added some depth all across or on both sides of the ball.
There's that link I sent you on the doc. If you want to look, it's the 2021 free agency tracker. You can see all the moves there.
Okay. Take this over for me while I pull this up.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Jags are interesting to me. I'm going to argue with you. They made a bunch of moves. I guess they needed more players on the roster, but they added so many of these guys, and I think they might cut some of these guys because they've got a ton of draft picks too. There's just no way they're going to be able to roster everyone they have with the amount of free agency signings they have. They have made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, it looks like, free agent moves. That's like a side of the ball and a half. I don't understand necessarily what they're doing, and none of these guys super stand out to me. I mean, I guess Marvin Jones is the star of the group, and then defensively Shaq Griffin, but people know how I feel about Shaq Griffin from last offseason. Didn't change this year. I mean, he's an average mid guy, but I don't see the plan. They just added a bunch of guys. I guess they're added a bunch of special teams guys, really.
See, with the Jags last year, defensively and even offensively, they had so many positions where there just wasn't good enough NFL quality talent. And it was especially, you know, in the back half of the secondary, there were some issues in the linebacking core. The defensive line is still shot, you know, from getting rid of all the studs that were on there just a couple of years ago. I think the Jags are just trying to add bodies and see what they got roster-wise moving forward, which, I mean, it's okay. I mean, as long as you don't shell a whole bunch of money out. I mean, what was it? Phil Dorsett. That's one of, you know, the signings where I think Phil Dorsett would have probably been one of, you know, I guess you say contributing to the Jags last year, you know, if he was, you know, on the Jags, because there just, you know, wasn't enough NFL quality talent. You know, Dwayne Smoot, who I'm not too familiar with, but I think I've heard some things. Jahad Ward, that's probably a guy that you were talking about saying how some guys could get cut. Maybe Jahad Ward's one of those guys. But if one of the signings that I really like was Roy Robertson Harris. He was an interior defensive lineman from Chicago. He was good last year, and he got a nice size pay from the Jags. So it's full of guys that, you know, I don't know. I don't think you would, you know, pick first out of a crowd, but there's some guys in here that you can be confident in. Rayshon Jenkins is one. I believe he played in Los Angeles with the Chargers last year. So there's some guys in there. It's not all totally bad, but I tend to agree with you on a bit saying that it's not full of guys that you would, you know, gush over and feel entirely, you know, comfortable about.
Yeah, that's the Jags. I want to talk about your team now, the Titans. Give me a rundown. I've purposely not paid much attention to what they're doing because I want to hear your takes.
Well, with the Titans, it's been about cutting away from old guys of the defense and replacing them with guys that are more adapt to Mike Vrabel's scheme. They cut away Malcolm Butler for salary cap reasons, cut away Kenny Vaccaro, cut away Adoree Jackson, who was set to return under his fifth-year option, but now he's not. And they replaced him with Janoris Jenkins, who's a pretty good man corner, who's, like I said, man coverage is more adept to Mike Vrabel's scheme. And then, obviously, the big guy with Bud Dupree signing an $85 million deal brings so much more prowess and skills as a pass rusher, which the Titans definitely needed after their 19-sack season last year, which is by far the worst single-season sack total in franchise history. You know, Danico Autry, an underrated guy. Jayon Brown, real good. You know, if you don't know his names, a real good coverage middle linebacker. Came back on a one-year deal, $5 million, really, really cheap. And then the rest of it was just depth signings. You know, Tyson Brelo, Kendall Lamb, those two guys are more like swing tackles. Anthony Firkser, Jeff Swain, two tight ends who are probably going to combine for a tight end by committee sort of approach with a tight end position. And then there's the signing that they just announced tonight, which I'm not so in love with for the Titans' sake of things. Kevin Johnson, who has struggled almost everywhere he's been. Looks like the Titans might like him as a nickel guy, which he's not. He's an outside boundary guy, outside boundary man corner. So it's been a mix of good and bless so far. They still have some money, a little bit of money. They can open up some money doing whatever they can do, and then they can go out and get another corner or a wide receiver. But that's probably not going to happen. So it's just been a weird offseason. So much action with the Titans, with players going out and players coming in. So I don't know if they're done. I don't know if they have one big signing and they're left. They can go out there and get Kyle Fuller, who's just released by the Bears. He's a good, really good man corner who would slide in to that Titans defense and give them the corner that Mike Vrabel wants, or they can go out and get another wide receiver. Juju Smith-Schuster is still out there. They can still do a number of things, but I think, and the sense with me is that the Titans might be done with their big signings. So might be done with their big signings for this free agency cycle and just chug on ahead towards the draft to find another wide receiver and potentially a corner. So who knows, though? Free agency is wild, and I've been surprised a number of times in free agency. So who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. I think the Titans' moves have been good. They needed to improve the secondary. They did. This free agency period, I used to get really excited about free agency. I have been the past few years. I've thought, oh, wow, free agency really changes things. I'm starting to realize that's just not at all true
anymore.
You know, yeah. It's about the draft, and it's about how you draft for so many of these teams. And the draft is coming up, so I think that's where the Titans win or lose the offseason, and where so many of these teams win or lose the offseason, because there are only so many free agents that will really change your team. Sometimes you got to look towards the draft to really get the guys that you can hope, you know, change the way your team plays. But that's my thought. AFC West wise, some offensive line moves for the Chiefs and Chargers. The Chiefs get Kyle Long and Joe Thuney. They needed to upgrade that offensive line. They basically decided to entirely rebuild it. They need a tackle still. So that might be a draft need, or they might look to it's got to be a draft need, since at this point, I thought they might really try to go hard after Trent Williams, but they did not end up getting him. So, but that said, Joe Thuney, very solid guard. Kyle Long, very solid guard, and a guy who can play tackle if you really need him to. Yeah, I like the Chiefs offseason thus far. I mean, but one thing that didn't make a ton of sense was Mike Remmers. He kind of lost them that Super Bowl. He was dominated in that game. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me. But Brett Veach saw that he needed to upgrade his offensive line, and he did. So good on the Chiefs. That's what they needed to fix, and they took care of business.
Yeah, it would have been better if they could have gotten a tackle. You know, reports said that they were – close and in with Trent Williams before he ultimately decided to resign with San Francisco. But like you said, yeah, getting, you know, offensive line help, which was evident after Patrick Mahomes got ran around for his life in that Super Bowl. It was evident that they needed offensive line help, and Brett Veach did what he could and got that offensive line help.
Yeah. Chargers, like what they did. Matt Filer from the Steelers, pretty good offensive tackle, and Corey Linsley at center, one of the best centers in the game. They did what they had to do, and they got a lot better and found a way to protect Justin Herbert, and they didn't downgrade that much at tight end. I mean, they go from Hunter Henry to Jared Cook, which is not a bad place to be. I think Jared Cook has shown he can have success with a guy like Drew Brees, with a bigger arm like Justin Herbert. I think that he might have a big year next year. I really liked that signing for them, and they got him on a relatively cheap deal as well. So I liked what the Chargers did. Anything else you want to touch on in this division?
AFC West, or yeah, I guess one thing, Mike Mayock and John Gruden don't know what they're doing 100%. I get that the Raiders need cash, but good Lord, you don't have – and they're acting like they have the time in the world gutting their offensive line for cash. Maybe they think they have the time or enough time to sit back and find those improvements and those replacements for the offensive line to make it good again. But gosh, man, they might be running out of time, especially Mayock, who, you know, I think – is seen as the more expendable of the two between him and John Gruden. So I don't know what the Raiders are doing. I don't think Mike Mayock and John Gruden know what they're doing. I think they're just going to throw out whatever they can throw out at offensive line, see if it works. So cheers to the Raiders not knowing what the heck they're doing with their roster. Let's hope Derek Carr doesn't get hurt, you know, getting pummeled by an offensive line. Let's hope the offense isn't going to be wasting, you know, guys like Henry Ruggs and Darren Waller next year. So cheers to that.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about the Broncos.
Do you really want to hate Eric?
I mean, yeah, I've sort of come around on, like, I was pretty disappointed when they didn't sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I'm okay with this plan, which is apparently they are the team that's going to sign Kyle Fuller. So if that happens, that means cornerback is no longer a need. They bring in Ronald Darby as a depth guy. So your top three corners would be Bryce Callahan, Kyle Fuller, and Michael Ojemudia. Don't hate that. It's not a bad cornerback group. They bring back Shelby Harris. I'm a big Shelby Harris fan. I think he's one of the most underrated defensive tackles in the entire league. Probably an all-pro if Aaron Donald doesn't exist. They bring in Mike Boone, a guy that's all insider trading. That is George Payton drafted that guy in Minnesota, saw his one, like, 148-yard game, when Dalvin Cook was down and was like, yep, I want to take a chance on this guy. They let Philip Lindsay walk. A lot of Broncos fans are mad at that.
Don't know why.
I'm not so much. I understand it. You couldn't pay. He's a fan favorite. I get it. I'll miss him. But you got Mike Boone for a quarter of what you were probably going to have. Philip Lindsay's probably going to garner $5 to $6 million. You got Mike Boone at two. You keep yourself in a good place financially. And it's a guy George Payton knows. I'm a fan. I don't know. The Broncos are all draft to me because I think if they get Fuller, it's a lock that they trade up or try to get a quarterback at nine. And, they brought back Von Miller as well. So that's good. So I think a rookie quarterback is the way they're going to go. And it just depends on when they make the trade to get up higher than nine, because I don't think there's going to be a guy there at nine. And it depends on who they pick too. And I think it's probably between Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson. And who knows, maybe George Payton's dumb and picks Mac Jones. I love Mac Jones. We'll get to draft season later, but I understand that he has major downfalls, pitfalls.
Yeah.
NFC wise. Well, there's only really one team to talk about in the NFC East, and that is the Washington football team, because they are the one team where I think you can look and say, okay, they got much better through free agency. One, they bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick. One would assume he'll be the starter. That's a great move. They signed Brandon Scherff. They got a good offensive line. They needed a wide receiver. What did they do? They went out, they got Curtis Samuel. So now this sets up for Washington to draft another X type guy, maybe the guy out of Purdue, I forget his name, the wide receiver,
Rondell Moore,
throw him in this offense, and suddenly you've got three legitimate wide receivers.
You got me smiling, Eric.
And baby. They're good on defense, and I don't know who's going to win the division between them and the Cowboys, but I'd kind of lean Washington at this point. And that's not a diss shot on Dak Prescott. That's more of a shot at how bad I think the Cowboys defense is potentially. Which, by the way, they didn't do a ton to improve that, the defense. So I like what the Washington football team has done. They have done very well. I am a fan.
Yeah. And you left out probably, you know, one of the biggest signings that they're probably going to have in this entire, you know, free agency sort of period. William Jackson, who was a really, really good corner from Cincinnati. He's going over to Washington. He's really, really good as well. That defense, you know, that offense, and I'm really excited about that offense. You know, they can, like you said, add another guy. I'm really excited for that. So we'll see how it goes down, but I'm excited for Washington. I'm excited for them.
NFC North. Not a ton happens here. Nope. It's kind of a rebuilding division.
except for Green Bay, but
some interesting signing for each team. Minnesota Vikings, Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson was so bad last year, it's not even funny. But Mike Zimmer is the veteran corner whisperer. He takes these veteran guys and he reassembles their careers. It would not surprise me if in 2 years we're looking at him as like a borderline Pro Bowl guy again. So it's a gamble, and who knows if it works out, but the track record says there's a good chance. Nick Vigil, I like that for their linebacking core. Dalvin Tomlinson, one of the more underrated defensive tackles, I think, in the league. I've always liked him on the Giants. They add him. I like the Vikings a lot. I just do. I think their moves make a lot of sense to me, and they're still very much rebuilding on the defensive side of the ball. And who knows about the offensive side of the ball? They're kind of a team in limbo in general, I would say. But yeah, I do like their free agent moves. And then obviously the big move here is the Bears, who have cut Will Fuller, angered Eddie Johnson by cutting Will Fuller, cut Kyle Long, and added Andy Dalton. Who knows? I mean, the Bears are the Bears. Apparently, they made a Godfather offer to the Seahawks. The Seahawks told them flat out no. I think that kind of ends the Russell Wilson trade discussion. I really don't think he's getting moved this offseason. But yeah, I mean, I don't think the Bears are going to be very good next year. I think that this is going to be a team picking in the top five. And it would not shock me if midsummer we get Allen Robinson wants a trade articles. And I doubt he signs a long-term deal with them. So yeah, I think that things could get ugly in Chicago this summer, and won't that be fun? As if Bears Twitter isn't ugly enough, you know? But yeah, I mean, I don't care about the Bears. I'm just going to flat out say it. They will be the team this year, but there's always one team on this podcast that we don't really care about and that we can't stand or talk about. Last year it was the Jets and some other teams. This year it's definitely the Chicago Bears. I do not care about them and will not talk about them this offseason. So yeah, I mean, unless you have anything else to say on the Chicago Bears, I think we can move on.
No, nothing to say about the Bears.
Yeah. NFC South. Kind of quiet. Bucks bring the band back. Everybody's coming back for the Bucks. Saints signing Jameis Winston. Sounds like he's going to be the week one starter. I'm very excited. I am very hyped up about that. You don't understand. How hyped I am about that trade. I'm so excited for Jameis. I love the guy. I think he's worth giving another shot. I like him because he's hilarious. He was hilariously bad. Now I'm rooting for him to be good. And I think there's a legitimate chance he might be okay.
And, preach, Eric. Preach.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I'm sort of excited for the post-Drew Brees Saints. They're a total mystery to me, and I'm excited to see what happens. They keep Marcus Williams, which is weird because that boy Wolf has come on here. Our guy Ryan has come on here so many times and said how much Saints fans hate that guy.
Oh, my Lord.
So, that one really surprised me. And the fan base was not too happy about it as someone on the periphery of Saints Twitter. NFC West. I mean, you got to say the Cardinals here are the winners. They go ahead, they get Rodney Hudson, great center. Matt Prater. Little kicker talk. Love Matt Prater. One of my favorite kickers. He's a guy I like. J.J. Watt, obviously, earlier. A.J. Green, I don't like as much as other people do. He looked so bad last year. And
old and slow, man.
I mean, there are reports out there that he seems like the replacement for Larry Fitzgerald, who they're going to cut or forced to retire. He kind of fell off a cliff last year, which, I mean, he's 39, so it only makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, looking at it, I'm not as in love as I thought I'd be with the Cardinals' offseason moves. But then again, not a ton of teams made a ton of offseason moves and missed one, except for the 49ers, who I love. And we could kind of talk about NFC teams, our NFC team that we're going to track this offseason here. I think mine's going to be the San Francisco 49ers, because I'm just convinced that they're going to make some kind of nuts quarterback move towards the draft. And even if I have to watch Jimmy G a ton next year, I don't hate it. I like Kyle Shanahan a lot, and they re-signed Trent Williams. They re-signed Alex Mack. They re-signed Emmanuel Mosley, decent guy. They get Jason Verrett, decent guy. I like the 49ers a lot, and they'll be my NFC offseason team. Who's your NFC offseason team going to be, Trey?
My NFC offseason team? I was choosing between the Saints and the Vikings, because those two teams, you're talking about it with the Saints. They're mysteries. Saints are going to be mysteries. Because they're starting quarterback. But I think I'll roll with the Saints, because I'm already going to somewhat maybe suffer watching the Jets, no matter how good, you know, Robert Saleh is as a coach. So I'll stick with a team that might make it worthwhile, you know, to watch a crazy ton of football extra on top of the football that I watch already. So I think I'll roll with the Saints, simply because, you know, their quarterback situation, how their defense is going to play, you know. It's just a mystery with how the Saints are going to perform after Drew Brees left. Such a franchise icon, such a league icon. So that's going to be my NFC, obviously, my NFC team.
Yeah, so let's hit it. Let's hit our offseason team update, because I want to do these at major temple moments. We'll probably do this next week when we recap the rest of free agency, because I think free agency will slow down by the Sunday after next. Ravens haven't done enough at wide receiver. Their beat guys, by the way, I did follow all the beat guys, turned on notifications. Hope you did the same, Trey. Their beat guys think that they are out on a wide receiver, which doesn't make sense to me at all. They keep most of the guys that they were going to keep, except for what's his face for Judon. They add Kevin Zeitler, good upgrade for the offensive line. They add Josh Oliver in a trade. They are interesting to me. I wonder if they attack a wide receiver in the second phase. Part of me thinks they won't, but another part of me thinks they will. There's conflicting reports on Ravens Twitter right now. But that was your Ravens update.
I guess you're sliding over to me with the Jets update. The Jets are just doing what they can to fill out the wide receiver role, the wide receiver group. You know, they brought Keelan Cole in, Corey Davis. They still have Denzel Mims. And they've been connected to Juju Smith-Schuster quite a bunch today, which would be an interesting signing. You know, pair him up with the three guys that I just mentioned, and you have a nice little wide receiver group that you can have for whoever's throwing the football. Senses is that it's going to be rookie quarterback Sam Darnold. Joe Douglas isn't in love with him. So I think it's going to be a rookie quarterback that's over there. Oh, and I forgot, Carl Lawson, signed a 3-year deal, signed for less money than I thought he would. He got, what was it, $14.5 million a year, which was pretty good bargain for a guy, who's signing to have some sort of, I guess you say, a breakout party. He puts up a whole bunch of pressures. Just waiting to translate those into sacks and make more of a name for himself out there. So, overall, Gerard Davis as well. So, as a 1-year low-cost bargain signing. So, overall, it's a nice offseason for Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh in their first-year partnership. Just continuing to add through the draft, plugging those holes on that roster, including that offensive line. continuing to build along that offensive line and continuing to build the front seven and then the rest of that defense and the image that Robert Saleh wants it to be in. So I think for the Jets, it's all about, you know, trying to find some more wide receiver help as we get, you know, in the latter stages of free agency and as we get closer towards the draft and continue to build defense. So we'll see how it shakes out. I'm excited. I'm excited for him, especially with Saleh. And I'm intrigued by Joe Douglas and his role, you know, as his roster builder and see how good of a job he does. So intrigued by the Jets. We'll see what they do with the rest of their offseason, but I'm intrigued.
Indeed. Finally, five questions to end the show.
Yes, sir.
Questions one and two, the winner and the loser of free agency.
The winner and loser of free agency. Okay. There's some decent some teams out there that made some good moves. For my winner, I'll say Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had a lot of their guys that were getting or set to hit the market. Chris Godwin, Ndamukong Suh, who I saw they're still, you know, trying to close things out with him. They're bringing a lot of their guys back. And they believe in talks to, you know, bring Antonio Brown back. They're bringing their guys back, which is what you want to do with a Super Bowl core, with Super Bowl winning core. Bring your guys back and make a distance when necessary. And right now, the Bucs don't have a lot of holes. They just need to keep bringing. They need it to secure their guys, and move on from there. So the Bucs are probably my winner for this free agency period. My loser for this free agency period would be, I was going to say Cardinals, but I sort of digress from it. Here's what I'll say. My loser for this free agency period, I'll roll with the Cardinals anyway. The Cardinals needed a wide receiver too. There's so many wide receiver two sort of options out there. Juju Smith-Schuster, Will Fuller, who's a guy that fits the mold of Cliff Kingsbury's offense. There was Kenny Galladay, who they could have went out and got out. They didn't get a wide receiver two or a decent option at wide receiver two. Instead, they got AJ Green, who's old and slow and declining and looking like a shell of himself. The help along the offensive line is nice, but they really won't matter too much if, you know, the wide receiver options aren't giving you what you want on offense next year. So I'll just roll with the Cardinals for my losers. That's only because I can't come up with another team on the spot. I'm not good with these sort of situations. You put me on the spot, Eric. So I'll just roll with the Cardinals. But you give me some time next time, I'll give you a better team.
All right. Well, that's a point of five questions. Is very random. You're supposed to get better at thinking on your feet here. What's your favorite local restaurant where you live, and what's your go-to order?
My favorite local restaurant. There's this Mexican place right up the street from me. It's just like this little, it looks like a weird shack, like in the middle of like a hut. It's like a shack. It's like a Mexican shack or whatever. It has a dining area, but it's not some crazy big establishment, but it has really, really good food. I would have to look up the name of it, but it's literally right down the street from my house. I can't remember the name. Dadgummit. Oh well, but it's a really, really good Mexican restaurant. Love it.
Okay, I'm surprised you don't know what your buffet. Like, I know the names of the places I like to eat. That's strange that you do not.
The thing is, I literally like get stuff from a grocery store, and I sometimes cook or whatever. I usually cook most of the time. Whatever I get. I could get some ground beef or whatever, do what I want, like whatever. And when I do eat out, it's, you know, places, you know, that are good. I just can't remember the names of. Forgive me. I'll look it up and I'll give you the name, and then we can all put this right behind us, Eric.
All right. One upset for round one of March Madness.
For round one of March Madness? Good gosh. I haven't even looked at the bracket that much. Oh my gosh, dude. Look, it's been a whirl, dude. I was looking at the bracket when it was getting revealed, and I saw a couple upsets that I thought that I might Like, I'm looking and I'm starting to remember it. It was one with, and I'm, yep, here it is, Colgate and Arkansas. Look, Arkansas, if you watch Arkansas basketball this year, then Arkansas basketball will literally sprint by you up and down the floor, shoot threes, put up a whole bunch of shots early in the shot clock. That's Arkansas basketball. That's the same with Colgate. Colgate will do the same thing. They did the same thing with Tennessee. I watched that game 2 years ago in the tournament where they gave Tennessee a pretty good fight. Colgate was knocking down three-pointers everywhere. So if Colgate could get some stops and get hot, you know, from the field, which they really can because they're a really, really good offensive team, then Arkansas could be going home in the first round. So that's my upset for round one of the tournament. If I had another one, though, honestly, if I had another potential upset, then it would be actually, forget about it. I can't think of another one.
All right, that's fine. All I needed was one. Finally, your favorite football jersey number?
92.
92. All right.
Albert Haynesworth was my guy growing up.
That's all good to know. Well, thank you, Trey, for this wonderful conversation that has taken many a turn. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week, next Sunday, which will be the 21st, and we will be talking more. Well, no, not the 21st, the 28th. We will be talking more free agency. And then once March Madness ends, let me tell you, we will be starting to talk some draft. We're going to have a draft roundtable, and then we'll do some draft stuff leading up to the draft. We might even throw in two show weeks in April to as far as draft stuff goes. Anyhow, that's all I have for today. Trey, thanks very much for joining me.
No problem, man.
All righty. We will see you next time. Enjoy March Madness. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.